You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to episode 15, Double Standards, Trump and the Espionage Act.
On August 8, 2022, the FBI seized over 300 classified FBI and CIA documents held by Trump at Mar-a-Lago, including many top secret documents compromising national security. We are now hearing that Trump is withholding even more documents. In February 2017, Reality Winner was charged with leaking one government document proving Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Calling Reality a terrorist and convicting her under the Espionage Act of 1917 was the Trump administration's way of saving face and burying the truth. Reality received the longest prison sentence ever imposed for the unauthorized release of government information, 5 years and 3 months.
And it's important to remember, Reality did not leak U.S. secrets to a foreign enemy, nor was she seeking any personal benefit whatsoever. Reality had a singular goal, to help protect democracy. I'm Dori Berenstein.
And I'm Sally Horchow. And this is Reality.
In our last episode, we spoke to Joe Connison and Marcy Wheeler about the FBI's raid of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago.
In today's episode, we speak to Micah Lee, the Director of Information Security for The Intercept, about the implications of that FBI raid. If you recall, The Intercept is the news site that published Reality's document proving Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Micah Lee is also one of the founders of the Freedom of the Press Foundation, which protects, defends, and empowers public interest journalism.
In 2013, when Edward Snowden was preparing to leak documents about NSA surveillance, he wanted to talk to Laura Poitras and he wanted to talk to Glenn Greenwald, and he didn't have a secure way to contact them. And so at the time, we had just founded Freedom of the Press Foundation. It was a group to support whistleblowers and to support journalists that are working with whistleblowers. And this organization was only like a month or two old.
Micah has a PGP fingerprint on his staff profile, which enables anyone to send him an encrypted message. Edward Snowden used that fingerprint to reach out directly to Micah.
Edward Snowden sent me an encrypted message. He asked for my help, basically, if I could help him securely talk to Laura Poitras. And I had no idea who he was. It was just an anonymous email address, and it was encrypted. But I went ahead and helped him. And he just said that it was important. Over the months, I kept talking to him and helping like Laura and Glenn, but I didn't really know what was going on. After they decided to start The Intercept, they basically hired me on to do security for The Intercept. And so I've been working at The Intercept ever since. But yeah, Freedom of the Press Foundation was, it's a great organization. It does a lot of technical work. I've worked a lot more on the technical side, where like they make software called SecureDrop, which is used for sources to securely and anonymously communicate with journalists. You know, it's done a lot of work around the Espionage Act and Obama and then Trump's, you know, war against journalism using the Espionage Act.
Micah believes that this aggressive prosecution of whistleblowers is a threat to the freedom of the press.
So whistleblowers are critical to journalism. That's critical to getting the word out about things that are happening, because in a lot of cases, you know, we just would never know about corruption. We would never know about, you know, crimes being committed if there weren't for someone on the inside that knows about this and that decides to share it. You know, I think that Reality Winner is a good example. because she saw solid evidence that, you know, Russia was interfering with the election. And meanwhile, you know, in the whole public discourse, this was being like treated as if, you know, it was as if it wasn't real. Trump was saying it was fake news. You know, people were saying that this is just a bunch of nonsense, but she had proof that, you know, the US government knew, and she kind of exposed the president's lies. And I think that really moved the conversation forward.
The risks whistleblowers take are enormous. They often don't understand the consequences of their actions. Michael Lee elaborates.
A lot of whistleblowers don't really realize how much trouble they might get in. They're just like, oh man, this is like fucked up. I need to do something about that. And that's just how they feel. And so then they just do something about that. And then they don't realize that like they could be facing serious criminal penalties. And then also, you know, even when they do, even when they take the steps to try to protect themselves, it's much, much, much easier for the FBI and for leak investigators than it is for the whistleblower. Because after a story is published with leaked information in it and an investigation starts, the investigators have so much power. They have so much information that they can pull on. And the reason really is because every single thing that we do is recorded and logged and tracked. And so it starts with the whistleblowers, like if they're at work, they're using their work computer or their work phone. Like all of the information on the computer and phone is logged. Like they can look through their browser histories. They can look through, their email and their messaging apps and everything. And oftentimes there's restricted databases that whistleblowers use. So like they log into a database, they do some searches, they maybe download some files from it. Every single little aspect of it is logged. And so the document that Reality Winner leaked was, she was one of the six people that had printed it. And they knew exactly who those six people were. And so that was like, you know, where they started their investigation. And then they started looking through all six of those people. And then, you know, beyond the work devices, then they can get search warrants and get information from Google and Twitter and telecom carriers. And so they sent search warrants to all of these companies and got loads of information back. And then they also, if they have enough evidence, they can raid your house. They can look through all of your stuff. They basically have all of this information. While meanwhile, the whistleblowers, unless they're already basically like trained as a spy, they just don't really have very much hope, which is very upsetting.
As we discussed in our previous episode, the government has used the Espionage Act to go after whistleblowers. Currently, Trump could be facing the same charge. Micah shares his thoughts.
And I mean, I think that the one exception, obviously, is if you were Donald Trump, then you get very special treatment, because if you misuse classified documents, you get to like claim that they were your personal documents, even though they're classified government documents. You get to claim that, you know, you have executive privilege, even though you're not the president anymore. And then you get like a judge that you appointed to appoint a special master and all sorts of stuff. So Trump is getting very special treatment in this case. But for everybody else, there's no way to defend your actions. It's ironic. I wish there wasn't such a double standard. But I think that in Trump's case, all the information hasn't actually come out. There might actually be real national security issues with him having these documents. It's interesting because as president, he does have the ability to declassify any classified information that he wants. But specifically, there was no evidence that he actually took any steps to declassify this. So I think that doesn't hold very much weight. The Department of Justice seems to be implying that that some of these are like the most highly classified documents and that there's like severe national security concerns. I don't think that there's much of a, you know, public interest thing there. To go back to the question, like, is there a chance that he might get in real trouble? I think there is a chance. I think that this is one of the several you know, investigations into Trump, it's a big one because I think that these charges are very serious.
Yet, as we've seen time and time again, the government gives special treatment to those with power, money, and connections.
If it were anyone but Trump, it would be a no-brainer. He would be sentenced to years in prison, you know, just for this investigation. but you know, he already has a huge political movement on his side, and he also already has a judge that's willing to make like exceptions just for Trump. And so we'll see if this continues and if he somehow gets off. If the legal system were fair, then yes, he would definitely be getting sentenced to prison just for mishandling classified documents, regardless of his reason, because that's what happens with everyone else who mishandles classified documents.
Micah believes the Espionage Act of 1917 needs to be reformed so that it can no longer be used against journalists or their sources.
The main thing that I would do is reform the Espionage Act to make a public interest defense, to make it so that if you actually can explain why your mishandling of classified documents was for the public good, then it's not illegal. I mean, I think that really it should be reserved just for people who are actually selling out their country, who are actually trying to profit from classified information, or who are actively trying to help an enemy country. But like sending classified information to journalists, there are still arguments that this could be hurting national security in some cases, but I think in other cases that's not the case at all.
However, most of the American public isn't familiar with the Espionage Act, so there isn't a public interest in reforming it.
I mean, I think that really like the times where the Espionage Act has been the most abused, which was really starting under Obama and then kind of like expanded quite a bit under Trump, that's when there was the most like news around the Espionage Act and, you know, how it's being abused basically to go after journalists. And I think that that's when probably there would have been the most appetite to do some reform of it. And in some ways, the fact that the Biden administration just isn't going that route, I think, is making people like, you know, not really feel like it's a problem. But, you know, it is still a problem. But also there's future administrations. What happens if Trump gets elected again, right? Like in the next decades and decades and decades of this country, like this is just a tool that the federal government has to go against people that in many cases really try and just like explain things that are completely hidden to the American public that are very wrong.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Daniel Hale is a whistleblower who was charged with espionage under the Espionage Act for leaking a bunch of documents related to the drone program and the fact that, like, you know, the U.S. has this massive targeted killing program where they have this giant list of people to assassinate, and then they have these robots flying through the skies assassinating them. And nobody really knew any details about it because it was all classified until he leaked these to journalists. A small number of people are willing to to risk it for the greater good. But you know, sometimes people feel like they really need to because of the terrible things that they're witnessing, and it's a very hard choice. If you suddenly realize that the organization that you work for is doing some like very despicable things, you know, you just know that there's this like massive, you know, program that is, you know, has a list of people to kill, and that like part of the whole drone documents showed that everyone that died from a US drone strike that wasn't the target, but that was like male and older than 16, they just like classified them as an enemy, as like a military age male.
We asked Micah if he thought things had improved since Biden came into office.
I don't know. I don't really think they are. I think that the Biden administration has not been focusing on going after journalism and going after whistleblowers the same way that the Trump administration and the Obama administration were. But the laws are the same. Like if the Biden Department of Justice decided that they really didn't like something that came out, they can still use the Espionage Act against the people that they don't like that are publishing stories against them. Yeah, I think that it's very rare that like if law enforcement gets new powers that they're willing to give them up. I don't think this problem is going away. I think that, you know, there will continue to be whistleblowers. I think that it is getting harder and harder and harder for whistleblowers to blow the whistle and not get caught. It's an entirely different situation than it was with Daniel Ellsberg, where he could just take paper documents from a safe and spend a few weeks photocopying them. But you know, on the other hand, it doesn't take a few weeks at like in a basement with a photocopier. It takes like 10 minutes in a USB hard drive. So it also is in some ways easier for whistleblowers to get lots of information and move it around. But I think it's kind of unrealistic to think that unless they are very, very, very sophisticated, that they could do this without getting caught.
In our next episode, we will speak with Reality herself and with Billie Winter Davis, Reality's mother, about Reality's petition for clemency and how the family is dealing with current events.
We're incredibly grateful to our special guest, Micah Lee.
Reality's interrogation by the FBI was captured in the critically acclaimed Broadway play, Is This a Room?, conceived and directed by Tina Satter. This podcast is created, written, and produced by Dori Berenstein, Sally Horchow, and Rebecca Aparicio, and the Broadway Podcast Network. Sound engineers are Alan Seals and Kimberly Garris. Editor is Alan Seals. Executive producer is Liz Armstrong. And a giant thank you to the team at the Broadway Podcast Network for their tremendous work on This Is Reality. Kimberly Garris, Bea Westby, Michaela Brewster, Maddie Page, Ethan Nienaber, Allison Arnes, Andrew DeWolf, and Eli Tokash. This Is Reality is part of the Gotham's fiscal sponsorship program under the Sound and Light Project. You can take action to help pardon reality by signing the petition at standwithreality.org. For more information, visit bpn.fm/thisisreality. And make sure to check out all the podcasts on the Broadway Podcast Network. And please join us for the next episode as the story unfolds on This Is Reality.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.